So I'm Diane Livingston here with Mahana Kudzo, who is from Ghana, and today is November 10th, 2020. We're doing an oral history today about her experiences with COVID in light of religion. And I'll just say that I met Mahana Kudzo through a friend of a friend, and I'm looking forward to this interview. This is the second interview we'll have together. And so again, though, I need to ask Mahana, can I please have your consent to record this interview?
Yes, Diane, you have my consent to record this interview.
Thank you. So we've talked a lot about your life already, and that was super fun. And now we're going to move to the COVID part of this interview. And so what we know is that COVID has affected a lot of people around the world. And many people are wondering how this has affected people. One aspect that people talk about is that of worship and faith. And so I'd like to move to this part of the interview and hear from you about your experiences with COVID with respect to religion. So I guess my first question would be, what is your religious affiliation? And then what was your worship like with church pre-COVID?
Okay, so I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And before COVID came, we normally go to church on Sundays. It used to be 3 hours, and then now it was shortened to, I think, yes, it was 3 hours. So we start at 9 and then we close at 12. And so on a normal Sunday, we go to church, we take the sacrament after partaking of the sacrament, and we listen to talks, and then we sing, and then we pray, and then after that, we disperse into classes. So we have where the children normally go, we call it primary class. We have where the youth, that is the young men and young women between the ages of 12 and 18 or 12 and 17 go. And then we have where the adult women or adult ladies between from 18 downwards, ladies also go. And then we have the quorum, the men from 18 downwards also go. And so on a normal Sunday, we'd go to church from 9 and then we'll close at 12. If there are any meetings, maybe auxiliary meetings, if any of the other classes. So the women, we call them the Rift Society. And if there's a meeting, they go. If the young men or young women have a meeting, they also go. If there is a council meeting, which is made up of the presidencies of all the auxiliary sections in the church, and if they have a meeting, they also do the meeting. But apart from that, after 12, church is officially closed, and then we get to maybe socialize, talk, hug, you know, chit-chat. Sometimes you go visiting friends who weren't able to come to church and all that. But when COVID came in, realized that that was a priceless thing. Going to church every Sunday was priceless. We couldn't go to church anymore. We could only talk to our friends by telephone. We couldn't go visiting them as usual like we would want to. And so things came to a standstill. We couldn't attend church for a very long time. And so life was basically boring without church. Yes. And so I think post or during COVID, that is what happened. We couldn't attend church services because we were told that we should hold on with church services until we get other directives. And so that is what we did.
All right. So it really, you came to the lockdown and it was locked down.
Yeah,
it was locked down. How did children handle the loss of being able to see their church friends? Was it difficult for them?
It was. My son will wake up every morning, Sunday morning, and say, "Mommy, please, I want to go to church. I want to go to primary." I'm like, "You can't go. You can't go and see your friends." He has a friend called Abraham, and he would always sit by him and say, "I miss Abraham. I want to go see Abraham." I'm like, "You can't go and see Abraham. Don't worry. We'll start church very soon." And so for as young as 3-year-old, he knew what it was like to be missing his friends. If nothing at all, he knew that every Sunday morning he would dress, you know, nicely, and then we'd all go to church. And then after that, there's primary, there's singing time and all. But all that ceased, like just like that. And so for a 3-year-old, that was something unexpected, something, a sad experience for him. So I don't know. And for me, I used to teach the primary. And so it was a whole new experience for me, sitting at home on Sundays, not going to church, not being able to teach or not being able to sing the primary songs and all that, not seeing the children. It wasn't fun. It was, I don't know. It's an experience I never want to go through again. Yeah.
So, when you were home, how long do you think it was before you started church back up again?
So it was like second week of March thereabouts. I didn't know there was even going to be a lockdown. We're hearing lockdowns in other parts of the country and in other countries, but we didn't know there was going to be lockdown so soon in Ghana here. But I think second part of March thereabout, that was when we were asked not to go to church until we get further directions, until somewhere in March, April, May, June, July, I guess September. It was a long time. So we started church about 2 months ago, which is like, we are in November now, so we started church in September.
A long time.
So we started church in September, and then when we started, we weren't doing the normal church hours. We just did 1 hour, which was sacrament meeting. And then when we started, we weren't singing. So the opening hymn, we normally start with an opening hymn and then an opening prayer. And then we take the sacrament. Then after the sacrament, if there are talks, and the talks come in, then we sing and then we close. And then after that, we go to our classes. But when we resumed, we would only hear a recorded version of a song, which will play as the opening hymn. And then we would take sacraments. We would pray and take sacraments. And then after sacraments, there'll be one or two talks and then another song and then closing hymn. And then that is it. We all go back to our homes. We couldn't even socialize. So it was just 1 hour when we resumed church after COVID. What I also noticed was that before you enter, there is, we call it Victoria buckets here. It's a bucket with a tap on it and then a soap by the side and then tissue paper by the side. So before you are allowed into the sacramental, you need to wash your hands with soap and water. You sanitize. Your temperature will be taken before you enter the sacrament hall. And then when you enter the sacrament hall, the chairs have been moved such that there is social distancing. The chairs are so far apart and families have where they sit. And then the aged also have where they sit. And then the other members also have where they sit. And so that is what I realized. It was for a 2-year-old or for a 1.5-year-old girl, it is tough sitting at a place, sitting down at one place still and not moving about. And she had friends that she had missed. And so when we went and then she saw her friends and my 3-year-old saw his friend, they were all eager to, you know, go and socialize, go and talk, you know, but they were restricted. And it was a little uncomfortable restricting them at that age. They would start crying. They were fidgeting all around. And so it was something else for the first few weeks, like first 2 weeks. I think the third week, they got used to the idea that they can't get to go to their friends anymore. So that is how it was like when we resumed in September. From March, April, May, June, July, August, there was no church. And then we started somewhere in September. So for about 5 months, we weren't going to church. But during the times that we weren't going to church, and we were encouraged to hold, you know, if we have a priesthood brother in the house, and that priesthood brother could have sacrament meeting with the family. Unfortunately for us, my husband was not at home. My husband wasn't around. And so for all that time, we weren't having anybody to administer sacrament to us. We would only do our come follow me, you know, and then after that, that is it, be sing, and then that was the end. But I think about a month or two down the lockdown, we got directive that missionaries or other priesthood brethren in the in our area, in our catchment area, could bring us sacrament. And so we started organizing sacrament meetings in our home. So we had one family who are about five, like it's a big family. So they would come, they had a man in the family. Their son was like 18 or 19 year old. And so he would come with them, and then we organize a small sacrament meeting in our porch. I think I have pictures. I'll send you that. I'll send you those pictures as well. Yes. So we organize sacrament meeting in our porch, and then after that we discuss the come follow me as well. And so that is what we did. So it wasn't every Sunday, it was each and every other Sunday. So if we have the sacrament today, the following week we wouldn't have it until the next week. So it was like every 2 weeks we had sacrament. So that was what we were doing before we resumed church. But for me per se, I wasn't too comfortable with that because they were a large family, and you wouldn't know who they mingle with in their homes when they are not with us. And we had children, and my mom is aged. And so I felt that it was a risk bringing them to the house to have sacrament meetings. Although we were keeping our social distancing and we're keeping all our protocols, I still felt in a way that we were risking ourselves by mingling with other people. That aside, I think everything was okay. We were having sacraments every 2 weeks, and we got the opportunity to share the gospel as well, to listen to other people's testimonies and all that. And so that strengthened us a bit when the lockdown was on until we resumed church again somewhere in September.
So you did feel a strength from doing that. It was worth the risk, it
Yes,
sounds.
it was. It was worth the risk. At a point in time, we felt that we needed to stop them from coming, but at the same time, we felt that we were strengthening each other at the same time, and we didn't even know how to go about telling them that we didn't want them to come around anymore. Yes, and so we couldn't say it, and we're just praying that the lockdown will be lifted so that we can go doing about our normal Sunday activities and all that. And so that was how it was.
Did you wear masks during that time when you had those people?
Yes, we wore masks. The difficult aspect was getting the children to wear masks. So I have my elder sister's two boys living with us. One is 9, and then the other is 8. And so although they are old enough to understand what it means to have COVID or to be in an era of corona, they were a little disobedient when it came to wearing the mask. They felt it was uncomfortable. And so, although you give them the mask, somewhere in the middle of it, you see them playing with it. They don't wear it. They'll be just be playing with it. And so that
Wayne.
was, yes, And that was our only challenge. Apart from that, everything was fine.
Awesome. That's great. Let's see. So, do you feel like when you stopped being able to go to church, were there things that you tried to do personally to keep your faith alive or keep your testimony going? Or, I mean, did you try and do anything different? Or were you able to maintain even, the worship, your own personal worship that you usually do during that time? It was such a crazy time, a difficult time. I'm kind of curious about that experience for you personally.
Was tough. It was tough trying to maintain my spiritual life. On a normal weekday, I know that I have an assignment to teach. And so if I'm not teaching the primary, I might be teaching in Bridge Society, or I might be giving a talk. And so whether I like it or not, I would have to prepare some way, somehow. Yes. And at work, we had devotionals every Monday where the whole workforce meets to share the gospel. So we meet every Monday morning. We pray, we sing, we pray, and then we share a devotional message, and then we sing, and then we pray, and then we start the day with it. And so every Monday, an individual has something to talk about at the devotional. You may not know whose turn it is. And so I always strive to be on top of my game, to read my scriptures, to do all what I need to do to be spiritual, because you might never know when you'll be called upon. Yes. And I needed the promptings of the Spirit to do my work. I realized that when I focus on the Spirit, I am guided in what I do. I'm able to achieve more. But when we were sitting at home and weren't going to work, weren't going to church, some way, somehow, I felt a little easy. And I felt that there was no need to learn because I wasn't going to teach. It was difficult keeping my spirituality up. It was a tug of war. My mom will always say that we are being lazy. We need to do the come follow me. At least our morning devotions, we should do them. It was a struggle for us to maintain that. We do them, but not as we were supposed to. And so our faith was lacking a lot. My faith was lacking a lot. I couldn't keep up with my spiritual studies and all that.
I mean, I know what you mean. It's a lot easier to, like you said, stay up on your game when you know that you're going to need to be accountable to someone somehow.
Yeah.
It kind of drives you. It does. Yeah. Did you feel, though, at any point that you felt like it was getting easier? Like, I mean, we'd like to think that we grew. I don't know. Are you just glad it's back so that you have that driver once again, or how do you think about that?
So when church resumed, I was a bit reluctant to go because I wasn't too sure of my children. And so at a point, I felt that I had become too relaxed. It looked like I was enjoying the lockdown. And so it became difficult for me accepting that the lockdown was over and then we aren't back to normal times, but I would say that we are back to normal. And although we're going, it was just sacraments. We just go, we take sacraments and we come. And the least mistake you do, you get to sacrament hall and the sacrament has already been passed. When you are late for 30 minutes, you go and you only probably go and hear the concluding speaker talking. You don't get to partake of the sacrament. And so our mornings were always in some sort of a rush, which didn't really invite the Spirit. Yes. And so we became used to the idea that, okay, church has resumed fully. And so we need to prepare beforehand. We need to prepare, make sure that Saturday evenings, everything is fine and ironed. We don't need to rush Sunday morning. Where are my shoes? Where are my socks? Which dress am I going to wear? Baby says messed up. You need to fix it before you go and all that. And so it's gradually coming. I am not there yet. I am not there yet. I have a lot of room for improvement. I need to up my game. And I try. I'm trying. But I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet at all.
What do you think it is? What do you mean by you're not there yet? What are you not there for? You don't have your job ready? Or you mean emotionally?
Spiritually, I can say that I'm lacking in some sense spiritually. My spiritual life is not as it was before. I hardly do my morning devotions and my scriptural studies. And so that is what I'm saying, that I'm not there yet. And since we resumed, I haven't been taxed to giving a talk or saying a prayer or nothing. And so sometimes there is no motivation to learn, to read the scriptures and to do all that. I think I was taxed to teach 3 weeks ago, And even with that, it was, I think it was a conference message from one of our prophets. I don't remember. It was about the Book of Mormon and how the Book of Mormon can help us overcome how the Book of Mormon can help us increase our faith. And so I was told I was going to teach it on Thursday evening. I was on my way home, and then the Reed Society president called that she wanted me to teach on Sunday. I was like, really? Okay. Let's see. I normally go to lectures on weekends, so let's see what happens. He said, okay. And then I forgot about it. Then Saturday, I was like, yeah. I was called to teach on Sunday. And so I had even forgotten about the topic. And so I had to call her to ask her again what the topic was. And then she told me. And so I started reading like Saturday after the kids had gone to bed. And I started reading and preparing for it like for about 3, 4 hours in the night before I slept. And then in the morning, and even during sacrament meeting, I was looking through it. And then after sacrament, we went for exercise. And then I thought, so that is how challenging it is to keep up with my spiritual life. I feel there are so many things I need to do. I'm too busy. That is how I feel. I can never be too busy for the gospel, but that is how I feel now, that I am too busy I wake up in the morning, I'm on the run, I'm in a hurry to get to work before 8, and I get home after 6, and the children are asking, Mommy, do this, Mommy, do that. I need to make sure they are fine. They go to bed, and I'm dead tired, and I sleep. And then I wake up in the morning and I start again. And so it's some sort of, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but
I think you did. I need to
I
know
can
more.
do more than
I
I'm
need to know
doing.
more.
Yeah, I can do
That's a
more
lot.
than I'm doing. Yeah, there's more room for improvement.
Okay, that sounds like but that sounds like probably what your life was pre-COVID too, would you say? I mean,
Yes.
is it different now than it was then? You know, we come off of co the lockdown is over and you're feeling a little bit low from the lockdown. And so I'm wondering, is there something about the lockdown down that made it even more difficult to do what you want to do than it was pre-COVID?
Okay, so with pre-COVID, I was more enthusiastic. Would I say enthusiastic? I was more into activities pre-COVID because each week there was something I needed to do, teach Relief Society or teach primary. And then COVID put all that to a stop. And then when we resumed after lockdown, we started 1 hour stuff, 1 hour, 1 hour, until I think we went for 1 hour sessions for about a month, and then we moved to 2 hours. I think so. We moved to 2 hours again. And so there was simply no motivation because I knew that I wasn't going to teach anyways. I'm not going to give any talk. I'm not going to be asked to do any prayer. And so there was no motivation. And going back was, although we were glad the lockdown had been lifted, and we're glad we could go to church to see our friends, to listen to the gospel again, to share our experiences, it was tough. I'm like, if during the COVID and during the lockdown, we could have our sacrament meetings at home and still do our come follow me's, is there really an essence of us going back to church apart from going to see our friends we haven't met in a long while? These were some of the questions I was asking because I realized that whatever it is we were doing at sacrament meeting, we could have easily done it at home. That is what at least COVID taught us. And thanks to the come follow me, it is friendly and it's understandable, easy to understand. You read, you compare it to what you know, your life, how you understand it, you share experiences. And if that can be done at home, why do we have to go back again? And so I was struggling with those kind of ideas because it wasn't necessarily different from what we were going to have in Sunday, like on a normal Sunday.
That
So
makes
that
sense.
was it. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Did you ever come to any conclusions on those questions, or is that still kind of rumbling around in your head?
Well, I never came to a conclusion, but then I also realized that with the family that would come, I realized that just like us, they wouldn't really read. And so it is when you're being asked questions that you start rambling, like thinking in your head about, okay, so what is it about? And because of the internet, you can quickly go in and then look at it and then just say one or two things as contributions to whatever it is that that lesson, particular lesson, was teaching. And so it wasn't really worth it. You know, when you get to go on a Sunday, you have views from different people, and it gets to improve upon your understanding that you thought you had. It brings a different viewpoint from what you had, and you get to learn from other people. You know, the learning environment becomes a larger group of people than the few people you had at home learning from or listening to. Yeah.
Wow, that's really well said. Thank you for that. I think a lot of people are thinking about that, and I don't think you're alone in that. People were just sort of less, and like you said, enthusiastic about going back,
Yeah.
which is really interesting. Okay, just let me look here. Have you learned? Oh no, how about this? Has anything surprised you about this experience?
I think I believe in, as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I believe in the prophets and continuous revelation. And so until the lockdown came, and then we realized that, okay, come follow me. We could easily do come follow me at home. And so I was like, okay, that gave me a firm conviction that our prophets were really called of God, and that with everything they tell us to do, they really know why they are doing it. Yes, it was like when come follow me was introduced, it was preparing us for COVID. It was like the prophets knew ahead of time what was going to happen. And so the Lord was preparing us for us to be able to survive in the COVID times. And I think it gave me a very firm conviction that I was at the right place.
What a great place to be in. Yeah,
Yeah.
that, I mean, place in the sense of feeling grateful. Is there anything else you'd like to share about your experiences with COVID and religion at this point? Or have I kind of asked the right questions? I hope.
Okay, so during the time of COVID, our bishop would always reach out to us, give us a call, ask how the family is doing, if we need any help, you know. And all the warrant meeting, he would always go to the meeting house, and so he would tell you, if you have an issue, I'll be at the meeting house on this day, after work, or yes, I would come. He had his own, he wasn't working in a government sector, or it was an entrepreneur, so he had his own shop, and so he could always go to work and after work come back to the meeting house. And so he would always call you and say, if you have an issue, if you want to discuss something with me, I'm always there for you. I'll be there at this time, be there at that time. And I realized that although we weren't seeing ourselves, the ministering that was introduced was also helping a lot during those COVID times, because you could minister by just using a telephone call to, hello, I was just calling to check up on you, how is the family? And there was WhatsApp, internet. We could do a video call, you know, and it was amazing, the way sisters called, the way the bishop called to always check up on the family. And so I think that is a plus for us, ministering, the new wave of ministering that we are doing now, against what we used to do. I think it was really helpful in these COVID times.
Oh yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. So did you find that there were many people in your ward who really struggled, either financially or spiritually, that you were aware
yes.
of? Hard for?
Yes, including me. For the spiritual struggle, I'm sure I had twins who were also struggling the same way as I was. But financially, I was lucky that I had a stable job. And so although I had a big family, I need to take care of my mom, I need to take care of my nephews, I need to take care of my two children and all that, and an uncle. And so the family was large, but I had a stable job. And even with me, it was sometimes tough because we had to buy things in bulk and then keep because we couldn't go out every week as we were supposed to. And so sometimes realize that you don't have enough money to buy in bulk as you would want to. And so the little you have, you'd have to manage and make sure that it takes care of the family until you get some more money and all that. But there were other people who didn't have stable jobs and they need to go out day in and day out to fend for themselves. And so they struggled a lot. There were a couple that were brought to attention because we were ministering to them. And so when we got to know, we had to call the bishop and let the bishop know. We first had to talk to the society president. So some of them were young women. And so the young women president got to know about it. My mom is a young woman president, and so she got to know about it, and then she had to go to the bishop to tell the bishop, okay, my young women are struggling. Most of them do not have members as mothers or as parents in the church, and they go to school and they close from school to maybe go and sell pure water. We call, okay, so we have something here called sachet water. We call it pure water. It's in small sachets, and so some of them would have to
S-A-C-H-E-T. Yeah, sachet.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's in a small sachet, and we call it pure water or sachet water. And so they would have to close from school and then go and sell the water by the roadside to get something to take to school the following day. But because there was lockdown, and most of them couldn't do some of these things, they weren't going to school though. But they couldn't go and sell as well because people were not buying, people were not going out. So they couldn't get that and they couldn't support their families. And so the bishop had to be spoken to, and then some arrangements were made. They bought food in bulk and then it was shared for each and every one of them. For some sisters, they were into rentals and event decorators and stuff. And because of the corona, all activities had halted, no weddings, no parties. And so people were not patronizing their services. And so they couldn't feed themselves nor their families. And so they were also brought to the attention of the bishop, the Relief Society president, who then went to the bishop. And then some foodstuffs were made available to them. But my question was, for how long was it going to continue? After it was finished, will they have to come back again for another? So those were some of the challenges we were facing physically. Spiritually, I know a lot of us were struggling spiritually. And so for that, it works a fact.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that is great though. So nice to see a ward come together and help each other.
Yeah.
You know, did you feel like there was a closer bond in that way maybe? Even though you were separated, or did you really feel that at all?
Yes, I felt that there was a closer bond with them calling and finding out how you are doing. Although they weren't coming to the house, you weren't seeing them once a week or maybe in the middle of the week going to visit and all that. They showed us that they cared. And so for that, the bonding was there. And we knew that we had friends who really cared about us.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like people came together and helped where you could, and We're seeing that. I feel like we're seeing that in a lot of places around the world. It's really,
Yeah.
really positive. Are
Yeah.
there any other thoughts that you have as we wrap up here that you'd like to share? We've covered a lot, I feel like.
No, for now, no. No, for now, no. No, nothing comes to mind. I think I've basically spoken about everything.
You said a
Okay, there
lot.
was one thing, and there's this sister. She doesn't really have, so she shares a room with about four or five other family members who are like aunties or nephews or uncles and stuff in one small room, and she doesn't work. She does sewing. So if you have a dress that is torn and you take it to her, she would mend it for you. And she sells staple foods, maybe sugar. She ties sugar small in a rubber bag and then she puts it on a table. So it's like a tabletop sort of store. That is what she does for a living. And she has one son. And she doesn't have, like, she's very. We're there, and then one of the sisters I ministered to called and said, "Thank you to me." I was like, "Thank you for what?" And she said, "I brought her a bag of water." I'm like, "No, I haven't brought her anything." She said, "Really?" I said, "Yes." "Why?" And she said, "Okay, the sister is called Sister Elizabeth. She said Sister Elizabeth brought her water and said it was for me." I was like, "No, I haven't done anything like that." And so I called the sister and I asked her, "Sister Agri said, I give you water to bring to her, but I don't remember doing anything like that." She was like, "Oh, I shouldn't worry. Maybe she didn't hear her well." So for me, that was an impact. I felt like, wow. So for someone struggling so much to take care of herself and her son, has been able to do this kind deed, then what am I sitting down for? So that taught me a big lesson. It imprinted something in my mind and in my heart, which woke me up from whatever. Although what I had wasn't enough, I had more than what the sister had. And so I called my mom and I told my mom that we need to do more than we are doing. And so if Sister Elizabeth has been able to do this kind deed, what about us? We go and then we buy things, and then if we buy loaves of bread, we just go give loaves of bread. We go, we give maybe tin fish or tin milk or something. But what the sister did, I couldn't comprehend it. And for me, that was selfless. And so it is one lesson she taught me. Although I knew that it was good to be kind, I knew that to sacrifice is to give something, not to give what you have in abundance, but to give something you do not have in abundance. That is real sacrifice. And so you give until it hurts. That is sacrifice. You don't give what you can give and then you still be comfortable. No. And so that is one thing I learned, and then it woke me up from whatever I was in. And so that is one thing that is always here. From the lockdown, I learned.
That's a really, and so then there's a positive thing.
Yeah.
Something positive. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
That's good for me to hear too. I need to hear that too. I'll try and from you. Well, this has been so great. Thank you so much for sharing everything.
You're welcome. Thank you for talking to
It's so fun to get to know you. And
me.
I hope we can stay friends. You can look something in the mail from me too. I want to send you some chocolate too.
Oh,
So
okay, that's
good to get to know you. I'm going to stop the recording now.